What we have seen so far is that Russia does not want to engage in any kind of dialogue. We should not humiliate ourselves by being the demandeurs that please, you know, we beg you to talk to us. But we should put them in a position where they actually go from pretending to negotiate to actually negotiate. And that's why we have planned to discuss with the foreign ministers of European Union in Cyprus also what is, you know, the picture that we see.
This is my video update on this Thursday afternoon, April the 30th, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And how about that stunning and brave Kaya Kallas? Telling everyone that the European Union should not humiliate itself by talking to Russia. Do not humiliate yourself, ourselves, by begging Russia to talk. That is what she said. We should not humiliate ourselves by begging Russia to talk. She wants to create the conditions where Russia approaches the European Union and begs for some sort of a deal. She was at some event in Estonia for the Baltic states or North European states, and she makes this statement about Europe not humiliating ourselves by begging Russia to talk. That's the foreign minister of the European Union, the top diplomat of the entire European Union, saying that there should be no talking, no diplomacy, no talking, no diplomacy. It's the equivalent of going to a surgeon. It's the equivalent of a surgeon saying, you know what, as surgeons, we should not humiliate ourselves by operating on people. As car mechanics, we should not humiliate ourselves by trying to fix automobiles. Okay, that's stunning and brave, Kaya Kallas. That should be my clown world for today. But you know who is talking? Putin and Trump. They are talking. They had a phone call, which was actually initiated by Russia. It lasted about 90 minutes. And it took place after Putin's meeting with the foreign minister of Iran, Araghchi, in St. Petersburg. And so Russia wanted to speak with U.S. President Trump. And the readout from Ushakov, Putin's presidential aide, said that the call mostly focused on Iran. And basically, Russia sent a message, a warning to the United States, to Trump. I don't want to say a warning, but a message to Trump that the ceasefire is a step in the right direction, and don't restart the hostilities. Don't attack Iran. Don't restart a hot war. Get to a resolution, because it's not working out well for you, the United States. And by the way, it's not working out for the entire world. The entire global economic situation is a complete mess. So that was the message that Putin conveyed to Trump. Work towards a solution. Don't you dare start up hostilities again with Iran, because this is not going to work out for you or for the United States. It's not in the U.S.'s interests. It's not in the world's interests. So that was the bulk of the conversation between Putin and Trump. They did talk about Project Ukraine. And there is going to be a ceasefire, a May 9th Victory Day ceasefire. Russia is not inviting Trump to the May 9th
Victory Day event. But Putin did tell Trump that, or he did float out the idea to the U.S. president that perhaps a ceasefire could take place on May 9th, the Victory Day. And according to the readout, Trump liked the idea. I like it. And they talked about getting to a deal, getting to some negotiated settlement with Ukraine. They both agreed that the obstacle towards getting to some sort of a negotiated deal in Ukraine is Le Goblin Ver, the Green Goblin, is the big obstacle. That is what Russia said, and the readout says that the United States, that U.S. President Trump agrees. Zelensky is just not helping to reach a solution to the conflict in Ukraine. If only the United States could exert some leverage over Le Goblin Ver. If only the United States had a way to exert leverage over their little green puppet. But Trump just doesn't have that leverage over the little green man. So anyway, nonsense. But look, that's what the readout says. And that's pretty much it. I mean, the readout goes into some more issues that they discussed. But for the most part, I think those were the important points from the phone call between Trump and Putin. Trump also told Trump with regards to the Washington Hilton White House correspondence shooting. Putin also told Trump that violence has no place in democracy or in politics. So Putin repeated the line, or the readout repeated the line that all of the collective West leaders said when the shooting happened a couple of days ago in Washington, D.C. So anyway, that's the readout, everybody, from the phone call. Trump was asked about this in the White House by reporters about the phone call with Putin. He was taking questions in the Oval Office. Trump said, "I think Putin was ready to make a deal a while ago. I think some people made it difficult for him to make a deal." Trump has that all backwards. Well, he's right that Putin and Russia absolutely were ready to make a deal. Some form or variation of June 2024 terms, Istanbul Plus, was on the table in Anchorage, in Alaska, and something was worked out, something was agreed on. But it wasn't Putin that walked away from it. It was Trump that walked away from it. So some people made it difficult for Trump to agree to the deal or to stick to what he agreed on in Alaska. So Trump is getting everything backwards. He's kind of lying. He's kind of lying about that. But he did say that Ukraine and Iran are maybe on the same timetable as far as some sort of a negotiated peace. A reporter asked Trump which conflict is going to be settled first. Is it going to be Ukraine, Project Ukraine, or is it going to be Iran? And Trump liked that question. He said, "That's a good question. I like it. I like it. That's a good question." And his answer was that probably both of them are going to be solved at the same time. They are on the same timetable. That was what Trump said. What else? He said, here's something interesting that he said. And a lot of comments are, I think they're misunderstanding what happened. So he was asked about the conflicts that are taking place in Ukraine and in Iran. And Trump said that, as he was answering the reporter's question, he said that, "I think Ukraine, militarily, they're defeated. They had 159 ships. Every ship is underwater. Every one of their planes has been shot down. Now, a lot of people are saying that Trump has told the media that he believes Ukraine has been militarily defeated. I don't think that's what Trump meant. I think Trump was confusing Ukraine with Iran. He's done it before. He confuses countries often. I think he wanted to say that when he was asked about the wars that are taking place, I think he wanted to say that Iran has been militarily defeated. But a lot of analysts took it as Trump admitting that Ukraine has been militarily defeated. I think there's no doubt that Trump wanted to say, I think Iran, militarily, they've been defeated. They had 159 ships. Every ship is underwater. That makes more sense. But anyway, that was an interesting answer from Trump. One second. Putin also mentioned to Trump the fallen soldiers exchanges that have been taking place. And he put a number to Trump. Here we go. The Russian president told Trump that since the beginning of 2025, Moscow has transferred more than 20,000 bodies to Kiev and received just over 500. So Putin's message to Trump, 20,000 to 500. Putin also told Trump, according to the readout, Trump wanted to get Putin's thoughts on everything that is happening on the front lines. He wanted Putin's take, and Putin's answer to Trump was that the Russian forces are advancing across the entire front line, and the objectives of the special military operation will be achieved one way or another. Putin said he preferred a negotiated settlement, according to the Ushakov readout. But if there is no negotiated settlement, there will be a military settlement. Okay, so that is the phone call between Putin and Trump. And we now turn our attention to Axios. Axios, which has a special access to the Trump administration. Axios with the special access to the Trump administration. And they ran an article, a scoop, not even an article. It's a scoop. It's a scoop of ice cream, which I don't know why I thought about ice cream. Maybe I want an ice cream. But anyway, it's a scoop. And the article says, commanders to brief Trump on new Iran military options on Thursday, today. Commanders are going to brief Trump on military options. Let's go around. Let's not walk through that slop. They're doing something. They're fixing up the beach before the tourists arrive, if we are going to get any tourists. A lot of worries here in Cyprus that it's going to be a difficult tourist season because of the war, the wars in the Middle East. Right next door in Lebanon, the war with Iran, the jet fuel prices. There's a lot of concern about the tourist season, but we'll see. We still got time. Anyway, they're fixing some stuff up here. Gonna make the beach nice and pretty, I guess. How do I get out of here? Let's go this way. So according to Axios, U.S. President Trump is going to be briefed on three military options, which, to be quite honest, are the same, pretty much the same military options that he's been getting briefed on every single other day. So military option number one is a special operation to get the uranium that has been obliterated and destroyed, but a special military operation to get that uranium. Option number two is that I need to climb this. I need to climb this. So the other, All right. It's always hard with one hand to do all these things. Check out the Oval. The famous Oval building in Cyprus. So option number two is to conduct some sort of military operation to control the Strait of Hormuz. Okay, we've said that before. And option number three is a bit different. It involves some sort of special operation with short, intensive military strikes in Iran that will somehow force the Iranian leadership, which has also been obliterated according to US President Trump, but it will force the Iranian leadership to agree to Trump's terms. No specifics on what is meant with the short, intensive strikes that Trump is going to be briefed on by CENTCOM. Perhaps this has to do with the reports about hypersonic missiles being deployed to the region. Have you guys heard about that? So the U.S. is thinking of deploying, according to Bloomberg, the hypersonic missiles, which are not ready yet. These are not ready, but they're thinking of deploying these, and there are not many of these hypersonic missiles either. The red, what are these things called? The Dark Eagle hypersonic missiles to the Middle East for possible use against Iran, seeking a longer range system to hit ballistic missile launchers deep inside the country. Okay, so that's probably what the intense military option is about. Very short, very quick, very intense strikes, probably deep into Iran to an area that other US missiles cannot reach, using the Dark Eagle hypersonic missile, which can travel 1,700 kilometers, no miles, 1,700 miles, I believe Mach 5, I think I read. Very difficult for air defense to knock it down. And the goal is to strike deep into Iran and to knock out whatever military hardware is situated deep in Iran. And as I said, these missiles are not ready. All the experts, all the military experts and analysts, they're all saying that these are not ready to deploy. But maybe it's time to use them, see what happens. The other problem is a very, very low number of these Dark Eagle hypersonic missiles. That's a sign of desperation. That's what it sounds like to me. I can understand if you're the military, you may want to try out a new weapon. We've seen a lot of that in the conflict in Ukraine. But this sounds like a lot more than just trying out a new weapon. It sounds like the Trump administration is getting very desperate to find some sort of wonder weapon that could get Iran to accept their terms. The wonder weapon strategy. We know that one well from Project Ukraine, don't we? Yeah, and the Trump White House is getting desperate, and they should be getting desperate, and they should be panicking a bit with the situation in Iran that they have boxed themselves into, because the price of oil is rising. It looks like, finally, the price of oil cannot be manipulated by Trump's Truth Social posts and his statements. It looks like we're past that now. And whatever Trump says about the conflict, we're close to peace, we're not close to peace, we've got a deal tomorrow, we don't have a deal tomorrow, all of his statements are now proving to be ineffective to the price of oil. And we are at Brent crude over and above $120. And I think it's still rising. So yeah, the Trump White House is going to need to figure out a solution quickly, because the rising price of oil is going to cause all kinds of problems for the United States, for the people of the United States, for the entire world. You also have the story about the USS Ford, which is now leaving the region. The USS Ford is cooked. It's done. It can no longer operate in the theater of war. It has to go back for repairs. All kinds of difficulties with the USS Ford. The crew is tired of being deployed. I believe they've been deployed for over 10 months now, continuously for 10 months, so they must be tired and exhausted. And the ship is falling apart. The aircraft carrier is falling apart. And so it is out of the game. No mas for the USS Ford. And so in my video update yesterday, I talked about Trump's Truth Social post aimed at BlackRock Mertz. BlackRock Mertz, who said that the United States is being humiliated by Iran. BlackRock Mertz talking about a country being humiliated while not mentioning the humiliation that Germany is undergoing with Project Ukraine, or the humiliation of Nord Stream. BlackRock Mertz doesn't want to talk about that. But anyway, I've talked about this in a bunch of videos that I've recorded. And I mentioned how Trump's post to Mr. Mertz, to BlackRock Mertz, was pretty soft. He took it pretty easy on BlackRock Mertz, even though he could have easily hit Mertz very hard in a social media post, but he decided not to. Well, it looks like Trump changed his mind. It looks like he changed his mind. He thought about it again. He said, you know what? I think I was too soft on BlackRock Mertz. I watched Alex's video. I liked it. I liked it a lot. Does a good impersonation of me. but too soft on Mertz in Germany. And so we got the news once again from Trump's Truth Social, where he is saying that the United States is studying and reviewing the possible reduction of troops in Germany with a determination to be made over the next short period of time. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. Removing some troops from Germany. You have 36,000 troops, U.S. troops in Germany. Is that number correct? People watching this video, living in Germany, let me know. Is that a correct estimation of U.S. troops in Germany? So the United States could remove a small number of troops, maybe shift them over to Poland. We've heard a lot of talk about the U.S. shifting some of its military from Germany to Poland. So perhaps that might happen. Maybe Trump is going to remove a whole lot more troops from Germany. That's going to upset the political globalist military class that benefits tremendously financially from hosting the U.S. troops, from having the U.S. troops in Germany. They're going to be very upset with this news if we do see a big reduction in U.S. military presence in Germany, or a shift from U.S. military in Germany to Poland. They're going to be very upset with BlackRock Mertz. I predict that BlackRock Mertz is going to call up Daddy, and he is going to beg Daddy for forgiveness. That's going to be my prediction. That's what's going to happen. Look, Mertz is saying all these things because he's getting freaked out over the rise of AfD. And the best way to deal with the rise of AfD, to try and get some support from the German electorate, is to bash Trump, right? But it's not going to work. It's not working, and it's not going to work. Mertz remains very unpopular. He just doesn't have that charisma. He doesn't have that charisma that Pirate Schultz had. You know, the eye patch, the whole eye patch thing. That was cool. I have to hand it to Olaf Scholz. That was very, very cool. Of course, Olaf Scholz was very assertive. At least he was very assertive with Justin Trudeau. So that was also pretty cool. Trudeau, you idiot. Everyone liked Olaf Scholz's assertiveness when dealing with the former leader of Canada. So yeah, Mertz doesn't have any of that. He doesn't have the eye patch, and he doesn't have the Trudeau, you idiot, assertiveness of Olaf Scholz. He's got nothing, BlackRock Mertz. He's got nothing. So Pete Hegseth, he was in front of Congress on the 60 days of the war with Iran, and he was getting all kinds of questions. The Department of War head, Mr. Pete Hegseth, he talked about the cost of the war, for which Hegseth has no idea. He was putting the number at like $25 billion, but when he was pressed on the actual cost of the war, including the loss of the U.S. military bases or rebuilding the U.S. military bases and everything that all the damage that the U.S. military has suffered in this war, and he was asked about some sort of amount for all of that, Hegseth was lost. He says, I don't know. You're going to have to ask the comptroller. I don't have those figures or those numbers. You should probably have those figures and those numbers if you're the Secretary of War, Mr. Hegseth. You should know exactly how much this war is costing, including all the damages that that U.S. infrastructure has suffered in this 60-day war, which is quite significant. But he put the number at $25 billion is the number that, I think that's the number that Pete Hegseth put everything at. That sounds awfully low, $25 billion. I think that number is much, much higher. The rule of thumb, when politicians put out a number for how much things cost, my rule of thumb is always to double, triple, maybe even quadruple it. And then you usually end up at the right figure. But the most interesting exchange, or the most interesting comment from Pete Hegseth, was once again explaining why the U.S. is in this war, why we even engaged in this war, especially because Iran did not pose an imminent threat. That's what the lawmakers were telling Pete Hegseth. You guys have said that Iran did not pose an imminent threat. So if Iran did not pose an imminent threat, say that fast three times, and everything has been obliterated, why exactly are we in this war? And Pete Hegseth's answer was, we took out Iran's nuclear capabilities last year. This war wasn't started because they were close to getting nuclear weapons. It started because they still had nuclear ambitions. Come again, Pete Hegseth? Come again? If a country now has nuclear ambitions, they can be attacked? Is that the new standard? Is that the new metric? If you have nuclear ambitions, now the United States can attack you. He said that Iran has this ballistic missile shield and all of this stuff, which is just nonsense. The ballistic missile shield that protects Iran and safeguards Iran from attack so that they can build up their nuclear capabilities. Anyway, he started to talk about that a bit. But the main point that Pete Hegseth made was pretty stunning. If a country has nuclear ambitions, then yeah, they can be attacked. That's why we attacked them. It wasn't because they had nuclear weapons, because we obliterated all of that. It was because they have nuclear ambitions. You know, I remember in 2022 at the Munich Security Conference, I remember Le Gobelin Vert running around with Kamala Harris and Annalena and Pirate Scholz and Ursula running around Munich in 2022, January of 2022 or early February, running around talking about how Ukraine has nuclear ambitions. Yeah, Hegseth just made Russia's case pretty much with that statement. Oh boy, he's just way out of his depth, Pete Hegseth. I think it's time to go back to Fox. The weekend reporter at Fox turned Secretary of War. What a world we live in. What else do we have to talk about? So the soldier, I want to update this story. the soldier who bet on the capture of Maduro and is now facing an indictment from Trump's DOJ, he pleaded not guilty. You see, if you're a soldier or an everyday person, you should not be making bets on the kidnapping of Maduro. Leave that to the Trump insiders. Okay, so the argument is that he had inside information because he was part of the special team, the special operations team that was planning to kidnap Maduro. And so he placed these bets and made a $400,000 profit. And that's a big no-no. Okay, well, you know, we know about all the insider funny business that is happening in and around the Trump administration. Nothing's happening to those guys. But anyway, I've talked about this in a past video. That soldier has pleaded not guilty. And he pleaded not guilty because, according to his lawyer, who's the big high-powered lawyer of Diddy, he's like a celebrity lawyer, Mark Geragos. I think you guys know who I'm talking about, right? And he said that, look, the soldier committed no crime. He didn't break any law by making this bet, so why is he even indicted? Geragos, who recently served as part of Sean Diddy Combs' legal team, told reporters that the government had accused Van Dyke of something that is not a crime. He called Van Dyke an American hero who spent virtually 98% of his adult life serving this country in an exemplary manner. Geragos vowed to file motions shortly challenging the indictment and the jurisdiction of the case. Yeah, I'm no lawyer, but my understanding is that Geragos, who once again is a high-powered celebrity lawyer, is making the argument that there's no crime that has been committed. There's no law that has been broken. He may be right. Makes sense to me. What do I know, though? I'm not a lawyer on any of these things. I'm not an expert on any of these things, and I'm not a lawyer. So who knows? Anyway, I just wanted to update everybody on this this case. Let's do a clown world and wrap this video up for this Thursday. I don't have much of a clown world. I think my intro was pretty good clown world material. But let's go back to fighting with Russia. Can't talk to Russia. Must fight with Russia. And I talked about Stunning and Brave in Estonia. Talking about conflict with Russia. Cannot humiliate ourselves. And we have Norway also talking about war with Russia. We have the Norwegian defense minister, Tore Sandvik, who said Putin is not able to win in Ukraine. He will not have a chance against NATO. Mr. Sandvik said that NATO remains a formidable force, ready to defend every inch of Allied territory while Russia stays tied down by the war in Ukraine. That's their thinking. Keep Russia tied down in Ukraine as we build up our military capabilities so that when we do decide to go to war with Russia, it will be a walk in the park. We'll stroll right into Russia, make our way right to Moscow without any problems, because Russia will be so beaten and battered and tied up by Ukraine. It's going to make NATO's job very, very simple. That's the message from the Norwegian defense minister, who also talked about how NATO with the United States is indestructible. It's unbeatable. Russia stands no chance. He started talking about how NATO would have air superiority and it would have jets all over Russia controlling the airspace. And just that alone would mean a defeat for the Russian Federation. And he was really talking up NATO and really talking down Russia. Russia, the paper tiger, NATO, the unbeatable war machine. By the way, Norway is also going to be building a whole lot of drones for Le Goblin Vert. They're also getting in on the drone action. Got to get their cut of the $90 billion. So they announced a joint venture with Ukraine to build drones. Of course, the drones are going to be built in Norway, but it's a joint venture with Ukraine, right? Everything's going to be built in Norway, but it's all going to be part of the whole EU defense slush fund and the $90 billion and all of that stuff. So anyway, that is the video, everybody. I am going to end it there. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X and Rumble, Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. I got a new Duran t-shirt today, which I like. I like it a lot. Good t-shirts, very simple, very comfortable. You can find it on the Duran shop. And check us out on Substack. Like this video, share this video, subscribe to this channel. And if you're watching from your mobile device, hit that hype button. You get 3 hypes a week. I don't know how much the hypes help, but YouTube says they help. And this channel needs some help. So help me out. Anyway, I'm going to sign off for today. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care. I made it all the way to the trilogy.